Has the news got you down? Not with this funny guy. You're listening to Lighten Up with Steve Miller.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. Hey, guess what day it is? It's Monday, and we're finally back. We've been gone for a month. Welcome to Israel News Talk Radio. My name is Stephen Miller. The show, Lighten Up, and let's welcome my beautiful co-host from America, Miss Roya Mohsinian.
Hello, hello. Missed you.
Oh, my God. We've been away for a month.
Oh, has it been that long? It feels like longer.
A month. People thought we got canceled, babe.
Never. Not Steven.
Never.
Never.
Oh, my God. We go away for a month, and the United States is a complete dumpster fire.
Disaster.
Oh, my God. Roya, how have you been?
I'm pretty good. You know, same old, same old.
Same old, same old. Let's first say hello to our listeners. Of course, we've got the dumpster fire United States of China listening. Yep. We have Australia, the United Kingdom, Italy. Oh, and we have Ireland. I got a good story about Ireland. Canada and Sweden. Hello, Sweden.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. That's it. We were gone for a month and they forgot we're here.
That's right. I actually had one listener email me and say, hey, are you off the air?
Isn't that nice? They noticed.
Oh, hey, and look who just came up, Spain. Hola.
Love Spain.
So to fill in on our listeners, so real quick, we were away for a month, and so the last show we did, I think, was March 29th, and then I went to America for 15 days, actually 17 days, which I got to see you, Roya.
Yep.
And then we came back, and then it was Pesach. Okay, yep. So we didn't do a show. And all right, and now we're here.
Yes. We made it through the whole month.
That's right. Anyway, I hear your dogs barking in the background. Can you shut them up?
Oh, my God. It's Warren, the one dog. He's so, I think I need to medicate him.
I told you, let him outside and keep him outside for 30 minutes.
William, you want to say hi on the air?
Oh, God. No.
And then you'll close the door.
Tell him to let the dog out. Anyway,
Steven.
Hey, William, how are you? Say hello to the world.
What's up, world?
All right, now get off the air.
Oh, man.
Here you go.
Okay.
Okay, Roya.
Okay. Lock the dogs out of the room. Thank you.
Can we be professional here? It's good to see that we're still the most unprofessional show.
That's what we're all about.
That's right. I was in America, and I have to tell you, so I got to see you, which was great, and I got to see my mother, which was amazing.
Fabulous.
But I wanted to tell you, of course, the Shabbat before our flight, of course, this is when Iran attacked Israel, your ancestors, once again, your people, because if our audience doesn't remember, Roya is half Iranian. So her relatives are trying to kill mine.
Jesus.
So our flight got canceled. My flight gets canceled. And I couldn't get out. I was stuck in America. I was stuck in Joe Biden land.
The worst.
So I finally ended up getting I found someone who knew a travel agent who found a flight out of JFK. It wasn't even on the LL website. Unfortunately, hey, I have a little beef with Canada. The Iran attacks us, and the whole world is scared to fly in to Tel Aviv, except for LL. They're the only airline that will literally fly into a nuclear bomb. They don't care. They're just like, get the Jews there, get them out. So I was supposed to fly on Canada Air. They canceled my flight, and then I got on this flight. LL, which I will tell you one thing, it is worth the money to pay the extra money. LL always flies, and I know they're very expensive, but it's worth it. So I got on the flight, and I just want to share I get on the flight from JFK, and of course I'm trying to push in my luggage on the overhead, and I'm wearing a T-shirt that says the NRA on it, and on the back of my T-shirt it says "Never mess with a man's family," and it's like a picture of like all these different types of guns, from like ARs to like a small pistol. Anyway, this old Jewish lady from Brooklyn, she says, "Excuse me, what does NRA stand for?" And I go, "It stands for the National Rifle Association." She goes, "Oh my God!" She goes, "You're not." She goes, "You're not one of those people, are you?"
I said, "Yes, I am."
I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Excuse me, do you know what's going on in this country? Do you know what's going on in America?" I said, "Especially as a Jew, I need to defend myself." And I go, "This is why I moved to Israel." And she goes, "Oh, you live in Israel now?" And I'm like, "Yes." She's like, "Let me guess. I bet you're one of those people that live in the West Bank."
she's really nervy, that woman.
Like she's got real chutzpah. She doesn't even know me. And I said to her, "Excuse me, I don't know what the West Bank is. All I know, it's called Judea and Samaria." Now shut up.
I like that. You're like, you don't even give her the pleasure. You're like, "I don't know what that is." That's good. That's how you have to deal with these people.
Oh, my God. It's like these liberal Jews. I mean, it's like, you call me, you're flying on LL to Israel, and you're literally trying to disconnect your own people from our own land. And then later on in the flight, you know, it's like a long flight. The plane is dark. I get off out of my seat. She sticks her big feet in the aisle. I try to get up to go to the bathroom. I accidentally stepped on her foot, like really lightly. And she goes, "Ow, you stepped on my foot." And she hit me.
What?
That's right. I got physically abused by grandma.
Why is she even going to Israel if she's so angry at you?
I don't know. She wants to visit the West Bank.
Oh, okay. Tell the listeners also what Air Canada wanted to do. Your flight was April 15th. When did they want to fly you back? Yeah. When did they reschedule your flight to?
Well, first they scheduled it during Pesach, which was unbelievable. I could not miss Pesach. So I would have missed Pesach. So I had to cancel that flight. And then they canceled it. They gave me my money back. But then I get an email after I arrive in Israel saying that my second flight from Air Canada has been canceled again and that I won't be able to leave until June 5th.
So from April 15th, you were going to wait to get back until June 5th. That's what they thought.
Right. If I would have stayed on Air Canada. Yeah. Do you believe that? I would still be in America right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was my exciting trip home.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll get right into it here. Here's a so also while we were away, of course, old President Joe Biden. He's the best. It says here, loss for words. I know you saw this. Roy, a loss for words, Joe Biden's tale about cannibals in Papua New Guinea who ate his uncle.
Oh, yeah, this is a great story. Great lighten up story. You can't make this up.
That's right. So he had a press. He was somewhere. I don't know. It says President Joe Biden suggests that his uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals in World War II. It says there Joe Biden says that his uncle may have been eaten by cannibals in Papua New Guinea during World War II.
Unbelievable.
He goes,
"This guy's nuts."
He goes, "Biden spoke about his uncle, Second Lieutenant Ambrosie J. Finnegan." Hey, it's an Irish guy. It says, while campaigning in Pittsburgh on Wednesday, describing how Uncle Bozy, that's what he called him. We called him Uncle Bozy. He had flown single engine planes as a reconnaissance flight during the war. Biden said he got shot down in New Guinea, adding, "They never found the body." Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun,
and then
dun.
He goes on to say, Roya, "Because there used to be a lot of cannibals, for real, in that part of New Guinea." He insulted Papua New Guinea.
Right. Unbelievable. And then I heard that the president or leader or whatever he is of Papua New Guinea got like outraged and upset and said, so he managed to offend the country as well.
That's
and
right.
said, "We don't have cannibals here. Like, what's this man talking about?"
I know.
So he just messes up everywhere he goes.
Oh God, it's that. It's just the most hysterical thing. You know, in fact, it's funny that Joe Biden said, because I too once had an uncle. He was in Vietnam, but he got eaten by the Viet Cong. He got shot down as well.
And they ate him.
They ate him. He they usually don't eat kosher food, but he was a Jewish guy, and you know, it was Uncle Shlomi.
Uncle Shlomi got eaten.
My Uncle Shlomi got shot down in Vietnam in 1967, and the Viet Cong ate him.
Ew.
That's a true
Vietnam
story.
Now Vietnam is angry at the Miller family for saying that.
That's right. That's the truth, though. So what are you going to do? So me and Joe Biden have a lot in common. Hi-o!
Who knew?
That's right. Papa New Guinea. Papa was a Rolling Stone, and he ate Uncle Bozy.
Just the name is so foolish. If his name was like Uncle Brian, it wouldn't be as funny, but it's got to be Uncle Bozy. I mean, this guy is such a bozo. He's such a bozo.
Bozo. Bozo. My name, President Bozo.
And, it runs in Uncle the family.
Bozy. I know, Bozy and Bozo.
Right?
Oh my God! What? I mean, you got to be kidding me, right?
I know. I missed light.
You missed what?
Lighten up.
No, I missed it too. So, some quick news, some more updates here in Israel. So, of course, I need to find a job, Aroya, else I'm going to be homeless.
Oh boy, can't have that.
So if anyone around the world, or if anyone listening in Israel, which I don't even think Israel's listening, usually Israel's listening. They're not even listening.
Yeah. They're out having fun. They're at the beach.
That's right. I need a job. And I've been on a couple interviews, and I have to tell you something. It's very fascinating. I go on some of these interviews, and all the Israelis, they seem to be, they always ask me the same question. They say, this is my impression of an Israeli when they're trying to think of how to speak English.
Right.
They go. Do you have a mechanical? Can you be a mechanical? I'm like, be mechanical. What are you talking about? You know, can you fix things with a screwdriver, a hammer? You know this? Can you do these things? And I swear, every interview I've been on, they ask me if I can be like a maintenance man, if I know how to fix
construction or maintenance. Yeah,
I think there must be a shortage of handymen in Israel, because they're all asking me if I can like fix things. I'm like, excuse me, I'm a Jew. I can call someone to fix something.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say, because Jewish people are not known to be handy, so that's why they need them so badly.
That's right. I'm like, if I'm able to plug in my phone and charge it, I'm like, yes,
right?
I don't understand. They're just like, can you fix things like printers and stuff? I'm like, listen, if you have a job where you need me to call people to fix things around the factory, I will absolutely, that job I can do. But I can't fix things. I'm a Jew.
That's why they need, my ex-husband was really handy and could do he could do like electrical work and stuff. It was really weird. I'm like, are you sure you're Jewish? Doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Anyway, here's a story. Actually, this has to do with your country. So because they attacked us, Iran, I found this article. It says here, U.S. deployed microwave missiles that can disable Iran's nuclear facilities. Apparently now the United States under Joe Biden are dropping microwaves onto Iranian nuclear sites to destroy them.
Microwaves. Uncle Bozy in on that operation?
Don't bring up Uncle Bozy. How dare you? He was eaten by cannibals in Papua New Guinea. How dare you disrespect his memory?
I know. Oh, my gosh. Uncle Bozy. Okay.
No, it says the missiles known as the Counter Electronics High Power Microwave Advanced Missile Project. That's the name that Joe Biden called it. It's called CHAMP.
CHAMP. CHAMP the microwave.
That's right. So they're pretty much just, you know, this is Joe Biden's showing his strength in America. Okay, get in the planes, drop these microwaves down.
Crazy. He's such a nut.
So if anyone has any spare microwaves they want to get rid of, please, the United States government is looking for extra microwaves.
And the Iranian people can also cook their kebab and rice in the microwave.
That's right. Anyway, so over the past month, did you find any stories, William?
I have, and I feel like I have some cute stories. I have some cute lighten up light stories. Okay, this is funny. I've been saving this for a whole month. Okay. A woman who thought that she had rescued a baby hedgehog later discovered, in fact, she was caring for a hat bobble. You know, the little puffball on the top of a knit cap.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I'm not even kidding.
She thought it was a live animal?
Yeah, she thought it was a baby hedgehog. She discovered it in her backyard. She brings it in all careful. She puts it in a box and she's caring for it. It says the inanimate object was brought to the Lower Moss Nature Reserve and Wildlife Animal Hospital by a conscientious member of the public last week, only to discover it was in fact a hat bobble, the puffball on top of a hat.
Wait, where was the rest of the hat? It was detached, or did she bring the whole cap in?
No, it fell off. So her furry friend was in fact the top of a hat, a bobble.
Didn't she ever wonder, like, it's not moving; it's staying in the same spot.
Yes, well, that's why she brought it into the wildlife rescue and preserve.
Oh my God!
She thought it was the pom pom. It was the pom pom on the top of the hat. She thought it was a hedgehog.
Right. No, I get it. Oh my God, what a moron. Is she related to Joe Biden or Uncle
Probably.
Boozy?
She's probably relative of Uncle Boozy.
Hey, my Uncle Boozy wore a hat. In fact, they didn't find him. All they found was just some bones and a little puffball of his hat. What's that little ball called?
It's like a pom-pom.
A pom-pom. All they found was a pom-pom and a thigh bone.
People are so silly.
Yeah.
But she was trying to do a good thing, so I thought that was cute and funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's talk about real quickly about the dumpster fire in America.
Yes.
Of course, everything that's going on in all the college protests. These are all these Hamas encampments, which are popping up in every college, although they finally
they finally
arrested and dismantled the ones in Columbia. But
thank goodness.
They did. And meanwhile, they're leaving trash everywhere.
It's
disgusting.
There's
so
pigs.
One of these protesters in Colombia, they had a press conference.
unbelievable.
Which was because they have demands, Roya. We have demands. Do you want to know what their demands are?
Yes.
It says protesters on the Manhattan campus are demanding that Colombia meet three demands. One, divestment from companies that support Israel's government. Two, transparency in university finances. And three, this is the best one, an amnesty for students and faculty discipline for their part in the protests.
Isn't that great? I love that. That's so good. And then they start making like other weird demands, like about the environment and other weird stuff. It's like, well, if they're so environmentally conscious, I mean, you've seen the pictures, right, of all the trash. You just mentioned the trash that is littered everywhere that they left behind and all the graffiti and everything. So these people are just some of the dumbest people I've ever.
Oh, this is the dumbest movement in the history of movements. I love, though, how they demand that companies stop divest investments from businesses that do government. But I love the end where it says and you can't suspend us or get us in trouble.
Right. It's beautiful because deep down they're actually cowards. Deep down,
of course,
they don't want to suffer the consequences. So, if you believe in the cause, then you suffer the consequences.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. So the president of Colombia, she's actually Egyptian. Her name is something Shafiq. I have another word for her.
She's horrible.
That starts with an F word. But she goes, Shafiq this week said Colombia would not divest from finances in Israel. Instead, she offered to invest in health and education in Gaza.
Oh, this woman is terrible.
And she'd make Colombia's direct investment holdings more transparent. Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
That's sweet, isn't
it? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Here's. Do you know who Senator Tom Cotton is?
Yes.
Okay, so he was on a news show in America. He's from, I think, Alabama, the senator, I think, or one of those southern states.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, he, of course, is obviously he's very pro-Israel, and he's sitting there, yep, on the show mocking the students. So he says here,
Yeah, he's been great during this. He's had some good zingers also on the internet. He's had some good comments about it.
He kept calling the places. He goes like this. He goes, Cotton, on this news show, there's a video of it, of the whole thing on Yeshiva World. So if anyone wants to go on yeshivaworld.com, Senator Cotton mocks college protesters. He calls them little Gazas. And so he says here, Cotton also criticized the college protesters, saying they deserve our contempt. They deserve our mockery. I mean, they're out there in their N95 masks in the open air with their gluten-free allergies, demanding, yep, that Uber Eats get delivered to them.
Yep. It's so great, isn't it?
It is. And then, of course, the host of the show, he got bothered the fact that he kept calling them calling it little Gaza. Aren't you insulting the people of Gaza? There is a famine there. He goes, there's a famine where tens of thousands of people are starving. So he goes, no. He goes, we had the World Food Program. He goes, we had the World Food Program say that there's an outright famine in parts of Gaza. Tens of thousands of people have died. And you're using the phrase little Gaza. And Tom Cotton just says, you know what? He goes, this is all Hamas's fault, so I really don't care. And he's like, they're the ones causing the famine.
Right. Exactly. I'm really enjoying him during this because he says some good stuff.
Yeah, there's a great video of that on Yeshiva World if you want to check it out.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll go on Yeshiva World.
You'll send it to me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Roya, this just in. Guess who? We have new listeners.
Oh.
We have a country that has never listened before.
Oh.
You'll never guess who it is.
Is it Zimbabwe?
Oh, my God. How did you know?
I saw it come up on the feed.
Oh, my God. Zimbabwe, Indonesia, and Romania. Zimbabwe. Oh,
fabulous.
Hey, hut number 68 is listening. Hello, Zimbabwe.
Hello,
oh my
hello.
God. This is fascinating. I didn't even know they had radios in Zimbabwe or internet.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Look at this.
Look
Zimbabwe.
At
welcome, Zimbabwe.
Welcome.
I have a question for you. Do you hate the Jews too? Okay. Wait, Roya, here's one. You're going to love this. So Ireland is listening. And of course, we've done a lot of stories on Ireland and how anti-Semitic they are.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another one. So this is because of the war right now. So there's do you know the show? There's a singing contest in Europe. It's called Eurovision. Do you ever hear of it?
Oh.
It's like what's the big singing show in America?
Oh, like American Idol.
Right. So it's like American Idol, but it's for all of Europe. It's only for you. And every year, Israel always participates in it. And I think even one year they had a Jewish tranny win it or something like that. But every year, there's always countries who hate the fact that Israel participates in this. And so, of course, this year, it says here, boycott Eurovision because of Israel's participation. So it says hundreds of Irish artists urge Ireland's Eurovision to be on the right side of history by boycotting the contest over Israel's participation. I'm telling you, Roya, we are pissed off that Israel is participating in Eurovision and trying to sing and win the competition.
Wow, the Jews can't even come sing. They don't like that. Gee whiz.
That's right. It says here, hundreds of Irish artists on Monday urged Ireland's Eurovision to be on the right side of history by boycotting the song contest over Israel's participation in the event in Sweden next month. So the show is taking place in Sweden. It says here, Ireland says, we are asking you to withdraw from your Eurovision 2024 to heed the call from Palestinians to boycott the competition to the participation of Israel. This was a letter signed by 400 drunk Irish artists.
That's funny. I could just picture them boozing with their big pints of Guinness and calling for this boycott.
That's right. They say, by participating in Eurovision, you would be standing with the oppressor. And here's the big group that is standing. Here's the big group that's making this push. I love this. It goes, the letter pointed to Irish artists and musicians like Irish language rap group Kneecap.
Kneecap.
Kneecap. That's the name of an Irish rap group. Kneecap.
That's a joke right there.
Exactly. I think if you're white and Irish, you shouldn't be rapping. Number one. Number two, if your rap group name is Kneecap, then you're a putz, okay? And you have no right to tell the Jews not to sing in this competition. In fact, I'm boycotting you, Ireland, for a stupid name like Kneecap. how tough could a rap group called by the name Kneecap? What are
it's
they,
so
gangsters?
Ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't Kneecap. Even make sense. Kneecap. That says it all right there.
That's right. It says so for all you Irish singers who are following in the way of the tough gangster rap group Kneecap. Oh, my God. You guys are losers. All losers.
I have a feel good story that's not a loser.
OK, what is it?
What do you think about this? And tell me if you would ever do this. Cincinnati man receives a kidney thanks to a yard sign. So this man needed a kidney. His wife was not a match. So he put a yard sign in his front yard saying that he needed a kidney. And this woman drives by. Oh, she's Irish. O'Shaughnessy. Her last name is O'Shaughnessy, Irish woman. She was shopping at Aldi. And drove past his house, seeing the sign requesting a kidney donor and a phone number. She called, and she learned she was a match, and she gave a kidney to a perfect stranger. Can you imagine? Did you do that?
But this is an Irish woman?
She just happens to be Irish. So she lives in Cincinnati.
What if her kidney got put into a Jew? Would she be upset about that?
Let's see. The guy's name was Scott Casere, so I don't know if he was Jewish or not.
No,
but yeah, no, it doesn't. But but she drove past, saw the sign, and said, "Hey, I want to donate a kidney to a perfect stranger."
Wow, she sounds like a real. She sounds like a real moron.
Yeah, she does, right? They're calling her a hero, and of course, Scott, who received the kidney, is saying, "What a hero she is!" And it shows a picture of them hugging. They finally met, and da da da. And he's doing well with his new kidney. I think she just sounds like a moron.
Well, I got to tell you, I think she probably finished a bottle of a pint of Guinness, and then she's like, "Hey, you know what? I want to give my kidney to somebody. Hey, you know what? I don't need my kidney because my other kidney is filled with Guinness."
Perfect Guinness. Little did the guy know the kidney he was getting was filled with Guinness.
Oh my God! Exactly. He got a drunk kidney.
He's drunk. Yeah. Well, you know, good for her, but I don't think I would do that for a perfect stranger. I think she sounds like a liberal.
Yeah.
She probably went from the kidney transplant straight to the pro-Palestinian riots on college campuses.
Oh, probably. Here, I want to introduce a new segment on the show, Lighten Up,
excellent.
Real quickly. This is called Headlines from Our Enemies.
Good.
So I went on to, I Googled Iranian news.
Okay. Oh, that should be interesting.
And I found the Tehran Times.
Yeah.
It says here, the Tehran Times, straight truth.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's really truthful.
So here are just some of the headlines in their newspaper. It's very inspiring. It says the first headline, Jews dismayed by Christian Zionist over Gaza war. It says Hamas refuses to yield in negotiations amid U.S. pressure. It says U.S. NATO provided 240 fighter jets to Israel during Iran retaliation. I love how Iran they retaliate.
Yeah.
And it says what else here? It goes all these bad. It basically is going down like death to Israel, death to America. And then I found this one obscure headline. It says, hey, and in Iran, steel production grows by 16% in quarter 1, 2024.
In other news.
That's right.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I just thought that was really funny. It's just going about how horrible Israel is in America.
Right.
And then it goes, steel production up 16% in Iran.
That is funny. It's very it's odd. The whole
very
thing is very
odd.
Strange. Very odd. Very odd.
I have a here's an odd story that I found. You've lost some things. Have you ever lost a ring? Did you ever lose your engagement ring or your wedding ring when you were married?
Thank goodness, no. But I did have the band, the actual wedding, not the engagement ring, the big diamond, but the band that had diamonds. I caught it on something. And part of the diamonds like ripped off, and I didn't know it until like hours later.
Oh,
I did have that happen. That kind of
I never lost my wedding ring, but I should have.
you would have been better off.
I would have been better off. I sold my wedding ring after I got divorced, and I think I got $20 for it.
yep, $20.
That's how much my 20-year marriage was worth, $1 for each horrible year I was married to that lunatic.
Yes.
Anyway, so it says here, a speechless woman reunited with engagement ring 54 years after it went missing.
What?
That's right. It says here, her name is Marilyn, just like my mother.
Marilyn. Are you sure it's not your mom?
No, definitely not my mom. It says Marilyn Birch, 76 years old, lost the ring while feeding hay to cattle on the family farm in 1970.
Oh, my goodness.
It says, but when detectorist discovered the item of jewelry, she was lost for words. So she lives on this farm, and they have this friend who comes over with those little machines that finds like treasure, like beep, 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 like
right.
the lunatics on the beach.
Oh, yes. I always wonder if they find anything.
That's right. So they had a friend who they live on a big farm. So he liked to come over and says, hey, can I come over and check for if you have any treasures? And then joking around, she says, yeah.
No way.
She goes, why don't you try to find my engagement ring?
And
it says she looked everywhere for it and then finally gave up hope. And she says, eventually we gave up and decided we were not going to see that engagement ring forever. But detectorist Keith Phillips had other ideas. He had called the farm several times recently to explore the land for its treasures. He used to show us various coins and bits and pieces he'd find on parts of our farm. And then she goes, and one evening when he was leaving here, I said to him as a joke, now listen now, Keith, never mind all this rubbish you find. Go find my engagement ring.
Right.
They, laughing together. Oh,
That'll never happen. Ha, ha, ha.
Exactly. So, but he ended up fine. He says he goes a week later, Mr. Phillips called back with Mrs. Birch's engagement ring.
Wow.
Says it was buried 8 inches down in one of the fields, she said. And
8 inches and he still found it.
He couldn't he couldn't believe it. It was an unbelievable story.
I was going to say, like, a cow ate the hay, and then, like, pooped it out, and he found it in a big pile of it.
Well, that's what I thought it was, because she was feeding hay to a cow, so I thought maybe that...
Right.
Right, and then they found it in horse manure. That actually would have been a better story.
Right, that would have been a big pile of petrified horse manure.
Yeah.
Like a fossil.
That's right.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Shut him up. Anyway...
Good.
Oh, here's the good news that you'll like.
Yes.
Okay. I found this. It says here, a Jewish British comedian is to make Aliyah to Israel.
Oh, is that Jerry Seinfeld?
No. It says here, writer and comedian Lee Kern announces he will be moving to the Jewish state. And the Minister of Immigration and Absorption congratulates him. No doubt that the thousands of Olim since October 7th give Israel a backbone to defeat our enemies. He's a comedian. It says here, Jewish British writer and comedian Lee Kern. He's making Aliyah. He's an Oscar nominated comic who wrote Sacha Baron Cohen's Who is America? Among other things.
I love down. Yeah. Okay.
He took to social media to announce the move. Israel is so outnumbered, it's almost unfathomable. It has enemies to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. And so I feel it's my need as a Jew to make Aliyah. But what really pisses me, but this is what bothers me. I'm a Jewish comedian, and the absorption minister doesn't even know who the hell I am. How come I don't get a welcome mat? How come what I don't have an Oscar? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just a stupid co-host on Lighten Up on Israel.
You're just a lowly, low down comedian.
Yeah. No one even knows me here. I got a better story than him. I divorced a Gentile and moved to the Jewish state at 52.
Right, exactly. That's a good story.
Where's my kudos?
Yeah, I want to hear a good congratulations to you.
Hey, Minister of Absorption, if you're listening, why don't you give a shout out to me? I need a job. Can anyone hire me in Israel?
And I'm not handy.
And I'm not handy. I can't do anything with a screwdriver.
You remember I used to come to your house and like fix like the toilet that was running or the drawer that wouldn't get pushed in? I, who am not very handy either, would come and fix stuff at your house.
That's right. Anyway. Well, what a show.
I know. What a show, Stephen. What a show. Good job.
I have so many other ones, but I can't get to them all. I don't know.
No, we'll save them. We have a month's worth. I even have a couple extras. I'm keeping them in the queue for next week.
All right. I'm going to finish up on a good lighten up story.
Oh,
bizarre story. You'll like this story. It says here, man says his emotional support alligator, known for its big social media audience, has gone missing.
Oh, great.
It
He's
says
probably
here,
wandering the streets.
It says here, Brunswick, Georgia, he's a Pennsylvania man, credits an alligator named Wally for helping him relieve his depression for nearly a decade, says he's searching for the reptile after it went missing during a vacation to the coast of Georgia.
Oh, that's sad. He took it on vacation and then lost it.
Who has an emotional support alligator? Are you kidding me?
I've never heard of such a thing.
It says here, Joey Henney has thousands of social media followers using his page devoted to Wally the alligator. He's 5.5 feet long, 1.7 meters. Here's a picture of him hugging this alligator like a dog. I mean, this thing's going to snap his face off.
Yeah, I was going to say, wouldn't a dog or a cat be a little bit simpler, or even some fish?
Yeah, I mean, my God. You know,
these people are crazy.
You know, the thing probably couldn't stand him hugging him all the time. The stupid moron is telling this alligator his problems and how depressed he is. Of course, he goes to the coast of Georgia where there's probably water and swamp, and he's like, "I'm out of here, man. You're
right.
You're toxic. You are toxic, and you are losing good health."
Right. He finally was able to escape.
That's right.
He's like, "Get me out of here. Get me back to my natural habitat."
Roya, it says here, Wally's popularity soared to new heights last year when the gator was denied entry into a Phillies game.
Thank goodness. I live in Philadelphia. I don't want to be at a Phillies game with an alligator.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Roya, we've got 30 seconds left. Oh, my God. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. This is so nice.
It was so nice to finally be back after a month, everybody. It's so good to be back.
Yes. Oh, and, so nice.
And it was so good to see you over the holidays, and hopefully you will be coming here soon to the Holy Land.
Yep. It was wonderful.
And
it really was.
Thank all of our listeners. And, of course, the continued blessings of our IDF soldiers who will defeat our enemies. And anyway, I don't know. I'm spent. I need a job. Yeah. Thank you very much, everybody. Shavua Tov.